Chapter 12. Terra, the Imperial Palace. Drakhan Vangarich knelt at the shrine to light a candle. There were more to choose between than would ordinarily be the case. The handful already lit burned low, wicks struggling to hold their heads above ever-deepening pools of molten wax. The chapel ordinary was an austere stone cell, lacking even a window to distract one's mind from communion with the god emperor. It was generally used by palace servants and householders for their daily observances, but Vangarich found its asceticism useful. It made him look humble, civilized, and discreet. He was, in fact, all of those things, but no one ever lit a candle or left a coin in a collection bowl to affirm their own virtues to themselves. It was an elaborate masquerade, a game in which no one played the part that their costumes dictated, a performance each and every day of his life, so that the ever-circling palace spies might see the Vangarich that Vangarich wished their masters to see. In so doing, he had allowed himself to become almost as hollow as the part he played. Some habits were hard to break. Even now, with a 24-hour curfew of the entire inner palace in preparation for the day's senatorum business, he maintained the charade of piety. Vangarich blew out the lighting taper and dropped the smouldering tip into a jar of sand. Despite his reputation, he was not a creature of solitude. Any number of unfortunate incidents could befall an individual when he was alone, he was in a position to know. Cruel was, of course, no more than 30 seconds away, and he himself was by no means defenseless. A man did not rise to become Grand Master of the Officio Assassinorum without possessing certain skills. But he also knew how far those skills could serve him. This was not a galaxy that rewarded the hubris of men. Suddenly, he felt the unexpected and rather uncomfortable need to pray. He was a faithful man of a kind, observant through rote if not from a true spirituality. He appeared to pray because it served him to be seen to pray. As he generally made these shows of devotion prior to senatorum meetings, the better to make oneself receptive to the will and wisdom of the god emperor, his thoughts had often revolved around upcoming business. Intelligence briefings on unredacted leaks of pre-agenda packets, comprehensively war-gamed conversational cues to feed the High 12. Often, but not always. The Imperium was vast, the officio ever busy. There had always been something with which to occupy his mind during a peaceful spell. And yet, for all the occasions that he had knelt here in this chapel and closed his eyes for the spies and vid-capture drones, he had never gone so far as to actually pray. It had never seemed necessary to carry the deception that far. He closed his eyes again. This seemed to be the way most people went about it. After a minute or two of stray thoughts, he became aware of the entry of another through the doorless stone arch that led into the chapel from the base of Daylight Wall. His powers of observation were attuned rather than enhanced, a product of training, conditioning, and, over the course of his career, natural selection. On this occasion, however, no special talent was required. It was difficult to tread softly when one was half again the height of a normal man and encased like a warrior knight of ancient Terra in plasteele and ceramite.
"There is a curfew in force in this area, citizen," said Corland, his voice, even unaugmented by helm or speaker, resonant and compelling.
Vangarich turned. He remained on his knees. The Imperial Fist was magnificent in his armor. He was strength and grace, the expression on his face, that which a small child might perceive upon a domineering but ultimately protective father. Through superhuman breadth alone, he projected an aura of invincibility. Vangarich knew this to be false, but even so, he felt it, and could understand why so many had faith in the power of the Adeptus Astartes to be the wall between humanity and its enemies. Corland was a sight to stir the soul, to excite the subliminal with imagery of angels and immortals and god-kings armored in gold.
"As a matter of fact, I was just thinking about that," said Vangarich. "It's reassuring that the Senatorum retains some ability to function when their best interests are served. Wouldn't you agree?"
"My apologies, Grandmaster,"
said Corland, recognition easing the sternness from his features.
This is a simple shrine. Had I realized that you prayed here, I would have made allowances.
I'm surprised you recognized me, Vangarich smiled. There are people I see every day who wouldn't remember my face. It's something I'm rather proud of.
My apologies again, Corland returned, humorless. I do not forget a face.
Or anything else, I suspect. I have a gift for recollection myself, though nothing like yours. You surpass me in almost every way conceivable, don't you? As you were designed to surpass us all.
I fight and serve, that is all. But,
he crossed his arms, dazzling by candlelight,
you did not seek me out to deliver a compliment. And you did seek me out, Grandmaster.
Vangarich conceded a shrug, and then stood.
I find myself struggling with what to call you. Plain Corland doesn't quite do your position justice. Chapter Master no longer seems entirely appropriate either.
You could call me Slaughter.
Vangarich felt that he was expected to smile, and did. The Imperial Fist did not.
A pleasure speaking with you, Grandmaster, said Corland, turning away.
The defense of Terra permits no rest, does it? Vangarich called after the Space Marine's broad shoulders. Your diligence in preparing the palace's defenses has been inspirational. Given the circumstances.
I hold, said Corland,
face half turned over the black fist that emblazoned his left pauldron.
That is my duty. The circumstances are never irrelevant, but they will never change that fact.
When I walk the palace grounds, I see Space Marines on the walls again. I realize that they can never replace the Imperial Fists, and yet daylight, the others, the symbol they now wear.
Corin's gaze dropped almost imperceptibly, brushing the curve of his pauldron plate, the black fist on its white field. This time, Vangarich's smile was his own and quite genuine. Guile and discretion were the principal tools of his officio, but there always came the time when an operative had to step out of the shadows and show the knife. Metaphorically, of course. But the good ones, the really good ones, could time their move so perfectly, maneuver their weapons so expertly, that they never wound up with blood on their hands.
You have been an inspiration even to them, Lord, and the regular forces even more so. The Lucifer Blacks have worn, well, black, since before the Unification Wars, but I believe I have seen some yellow starting to appear these past weeks. They worship you, and I'm not speaking figuratively. You are as close to the God Emperor as any of them will ever come.
Corland turned back.
I do not serve for accolades.
Higher words of praise were never spoken within these walls, trust me. But from whom do you think those soldiers would rather take their orders? Some distant lord who hasn't set foot beyond the inner palace since greasing his way out of the navy? Or one of the true defenders of humanity?
I fight, I serve, and I hold. That is all.
Vangarich tilted his head back and looked pointedly up. A hairline fracture ran across the chapel's ceiling, a millimeter in continuity, where the latest round of tremors had moved the north wall marginally westward relative to the south. This was a minor shrine, frequented by nobody of importance but the Grand Master of a shadowy officio that few higher authorities much cared for. The repair detail was mired in the bureaucracy of the administratum.
We need more from you. If the orcs tire of our dithering tomorrow and launch their assault, what will happen? Can you hold Terra without the full backing of the Astra Militarum? Let's say that you can, that you do, and that we are all still here to conduct the hunt for the beast that you have been calling for. Do you really want to do it, fighting the Navy, the Astropathica, and the Administratum every step of the way?
Corin said nothing. It was an opening, and Vangarich took it.
You do wish to confront the beast.
A firm defense is central to the avoidance of defeat, but a strategy of containment will never win a war. The siege was the greatest defensive action in history, but it was the Emperor's defeat of Horus that finally ended the heresy.
Politics is very much like war, Vangarich agreed softly. Sometimes the only solution is to strike for the figure at the top.
I serve the Imperium loyally, Corland returned, shocked, angry.
Sometimes a failing organ needed to be shocked, Vangarich thought. Have you paused recently to ask yourself what the Imperium really needs?
The Imperial fist fell silent, his eyes running deep. Vangarich offered a slight bow and left the transhuman to his thoughts. He was not nearly important enough that the Senatorum would wait on his arrival, and Corland had a lot to think about.